morning. Good to see you here. And listen, I know there has been a lot of excitement leading up to today. Amen. And I am excited. The leadership team has been excited, and we are excited this morning to introduce to you the young man whom we believe God has called here to be our next youth minister. His name is Mark Hyde. I kind of gave you a little bit of preview last week on him. And his wife's name is Nicole. They're sitting right over here. And Mark is, he's a young whippersnapper, all right? He's 22 years old, but has had a lot of life experiences. And we believe that God is calling him here to be our youth minister. And so Mark is from the area, Nicole is as well. And been here, I'm not going to steal any of his thunder and stuff, but graduated from Community Baptist. And then is just graduating now from Liberty University. And so we have another Liberty grad over here. I found out yesterday, so praise God for that. And some really good, neat things that Mark has, God has done in Mark's life. And he's going to come this morning and share his testimony and just kind of share his heart a little bit. And then afterwards, listen, y'all aren't off the hook, okay? I'm going to come and I'm going to share the Word of God with you, okay? But hopefully we're going to tie all this in together and it's going to make some sense and God's going to do something this morning. Amen? So, good deal. Mark, you come, and listen, open your ears up this morning. Be attentive. I want you to hear what Mark has to say.
It's not too much. It's not too much. Well, hey, good morning again. As Pastor Scott said, my name is Mark Hyde. We figured this would be the best way for you guys to, you know, just a little snippet of me. If you guys do know me, you know I can talk for a long, long period of time. Just ask the Scarberries. They know I can go on for forever. But I'm going to break it down to about 8 minutes. Is that cool? That way we can still preach and get out of here on time. Well, hey, as Pastor Scott said, my name is Mark Hyde. I was born and raised actually in Northwest Indiana and didn't move out here to South Bend until I was about eighth grade or so. So I was born and raised in Northwest Indiana, right outside of Gary, actually. My mom and dad, I have one older sister. She's actually married and living right now in Kansas City, Kansas. Got to make sure I get that right. Kansas City, Kansas with her husband. Then I have two younger brothers as well. One's a junior in Cedarville, and then one's a senior, actually, over at Community Baptist Church. Well, I was born and raised in a Christian home. My dad was always in the church. He was a deacon. He was an Awana leader. He was actually a music pastor towards the end of his life as well. And my mom was a Christian school teacher, taught Sunday school for who knows how long. So I was basically born and raised in the church. However, my faith didn't become not necessarily real, but I didn't accept Christ as my Savior until about third grade. I was about 10 or 11 years old. One night after Awana Club, I came home and my dad had on an old Southern Gospel record. Not a CD, a legit vinyl record that he had going on, Southern Gospel going on. Basically what the song was saying was, when Christ came back to bring those home who were his, they were going to go up in the air and be with him, and it was going to be a glorious day. I was sitting there listening to that song, and I told my dad, you know, if Jesus comes back, I don't know if I'm going with him. And at that time, the worst fear I ever had was being left alone. So I talked to my dad about it. He opened up his Bible and showed me, just step to step, who Jesus is, who God is, how I can have him as my Lord and Savior. And at that day, when I was in third grade, I know that I will be going with Jesus when he comes back. Now, my faith didn't become real until I was about junior in high school or so. I had a lot of dark times. I had a lot of spiritually dark times. Family issues that were going on. So my faith didn't become real till I was about 16, 17 years old. But if you ask me, that day was when Christ came into my heart. About a year after I accepted Christ as my Savior, my father actually passed away in a car accident. He came and visited us at school, and then on his way back to work, he was T-boned, driver's side, and he went to be with God that day. Ever since then, it's been an up-and-down journey for my family. My mom got remarried when I was in seventh grade, and we moved out here to South Bend when I was in eighth grade. And they had six kids. We had four, so we had a whole Brady Bunch thing going on in our family. But from there, we started attending Community Baptist Christian School. Honestly, if you would ask me, I didn't know Nicole was in my class until about freshman year, sophomore year. So I don't even remember her in eighth grade, to be completely honest with you, and she'll admit the same thing. We started dating actually at our senior year, right before it started. We dated through our senior year, and then we both went off to college together up at Northland International University up in Dunbar, Wisconsin. While we were up there, I studied as a bachelor's in church ministries with an emphasis in sports ministries, and Nicole got an associate in biblical studies. After my sophomore year and after she graduated, we got married and we went back up there to Northland to be a full-time student, full-time worker, full-time husband, and it was fun. I'll put it that way. It was a whole lot of fun. After that 1 year, though, there was a whole lot of political crossfire that happened at the university with presidents and boards, and we were actually caught in the middle of the crossfire with it, as well as a lot of other staff members that were there. So we actually decided as a family, let's move back home, come back to our roots, and get started here, where I transferred into Liberty University, where I just graduated about 2 weeks ago, actually. So I just graduated from Liberty about then. And then for the past year also, I've been working as the intern down at a local church down in Bremen, Indiana, down in the children's ministry. So I've been hanging out with kids, and I'm excited to be with youth, let me tell you. Kids are fun, but, youth are so much better. Well, one question I'm sure a lot of your parents have, and a lot of people have asked me this question as well, but why youth ministry? Why do you want to be a youth pastor? Why do you want to be a youth minister? Why do you want to hang out with students? Well, throughout my life, honestly, I've had a lot of hard times. I've lost my dad. I've had some spiritually dark times. I've had a new family. I've had to move to a new home. I had to leave the home that I had. And every time something happened, every time I can look at my life when something happened, people did step up. And generally every time it was either a youth pastor or a lead pastor. One of those two positions always stepped up and said, "We will be your dad. We will help you out. We will take care of you." I want to turn around and do that for the students of this generation. Honestly, this generation is a great, great generation. I mean, you can ask the students. They're pretty cool people. And I want to do for them what those youth pastors and what those lead pastors did for me. This generation wants to serve God, or at least they think they want to serve God. They might not realize it yet, or actually, they might not even say they want to serve God. But this generation is hungry for God, and I'm excited to lead them into the next step and teach them who they are in Christ and who they can be in Him. Honestly, my philosophy for youth ministry is pretty simple, and just like any good pastor, I boiled it down to three quick points of what my philosophy is, and it's really easy. It's know, grow, and go. Know, students need to know who God is, what the gospel is, what the message of Jesus Christ is, and what the basics of the faith are. Students also need to grow. Students need to grow in their walk with Christ on a personal level and also grow in their relationship, both with leaders, both of their Christian comrades and their other Christian fellow friends and other students, and then even with the world around them as a church body in a whole. And also, students need to go. Students need to be able to share their faith with the lost world and be the hands and feet of Jesus by serving others. Know is accomplished through biblical teaching and studying the Bible. Grow is accomplished through small groups, Bible study, personal study, and retreats and camps as well. And go is accomplished through various missions trips, international, stateside, local, work trips, service opportunities here at the church, and by teaching students to share their faith and teaching students how to share their faith in order to give them the confidence they need to go and really do and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, hey, I don't want to take up any more time, so let me finish off with this. Just like Awana, custodial work, VBS, anything that happens in the church, it all is done by a team. Honestly, I'm just one dude, and actually, if you look at me, I'm a really little dude. And I can't do all the work by myself. So if you want to come on and be a part of me, come on board with us and just change this generation for the future. I would love it. We need help in all areas, honestly. We need small group leaders. We need people to help with games. If you just want to volunteer and say, "Hey, I can give you a dozen cookies for Sunday night," I'll take it, man. I love cookies. Students might not get any, but we will definitely take cookies. And I know, honestly, working with students can be intimidating. Honestly, I'll be honest, I'm scared senseless. I'm scared to be with students sometimes and be able to just be with them, just show them who God is. And I know it's a really intimidating thing as well to come on and volunteer with us. But honestly, you don't need to be the smartest, strongest, wittiest, and even the best teacher of all to be with youth. You just got to love them and show them who Christ is. So if you have the heart to show students just who God is and help them take their relationship to the next level with God, please come talk with me or Pastor Scott, or I'll be honest, I'll come talk to you. So if you come talk to me first, I won't have to come to you. So that would make life a lot easier. But hey, I pray as I go through this journey with you that you'll be gracious with me, as I'm sure I will make many mistakes. I know I will do that. But honestly, I want what's best for the families and both the students here at Southside Baptist Church. And again, I'm super excited to be here at Southside and serve along with you guys. So thank you again, Pastor. And thank you again. And let's have fun, huh? Let's do it.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. And listen, I know, I told him, I said, I know we're going to put you through a little bit here. It's nerve-wracking to get up in front of folks for the first time and stuff, but good job, Mark. Thank you for sharing your heart and a little bit about your testimony and stuff. Turning your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You guys kind of know the deal. You should have gotten an outline in your bulletin. If you did not, if you'll stick your hand way up in the air. Okay, we got a couple up here, a couple back that way as well. Well, God, you know how God just tends to kind of make things fit together, doesn't he? It's amazing how God just works things out. And when we began in the process of looking for a new youth minister, we prayed and asked for God's leading. And we believe that God has led us to Mark as our next youth minister. And we praise God for bringing us together, all right? Mark believes that God has led him here. So we've both sought the will of the Lord, and we believe that this is God's will. And we believe that we are being led by the Spirit of God in this matter. That's the most important thing. Amen? We're going to talk about that very thing. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? How can I make sure that I am being led by the Spirit in my life? Because, you know, where we as human beings can get into trouble is when we leave God out of the equation. Amen? When we try to do things on our own, when we do things in the flesh, and we don't seek God's will, and we don't seek God's direction, and we don't ask for God to open up doors for us. That's where we can get into trouble. Whatever we're doing in our lives, we always need to let God lead us. We need to be led by His Spirit. Amen? So, that's what we want to talk about this morning. God's just a great God. He kind of, you know, I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to take a break, another little break from Acts here. I want to do something that's going to fit in with Mark giving his testimony and so forth. And I began to look at the next passage that we were in here in Acts. And lo and behold, guess what we're talking about? Being led by the Spirit. It's how God works, isn't it? It's how He works. So I want to share with you this morning, if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, then there are some important principles. There are some valuable principles that we need to know. I want to share four of those with you this morning. Number one, first of all, friends, God usually doesn't give us all the, anybody know what that word is? Details. He usually doesn't give us all the details when He speaks to us. Amen? He usually doesn't give us all the details. Now, we're people that we want all the details, right? We want to know the details. We want to know exactly what's going to happen next. But God seldom gives us all the details up front. You know how He usually does it? He reveals them along the way. He reveals the details as we go along. What does He do to start with? He calls us and He just tells us to obey. This is what we see happening in our text this morning. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And before we begin reading there, let's catch ourselves up to speed. It's been a couple of weeks. If you remember, we go back to chapter 6, I believe it was, the end of chapter 6, and Stephen had been martyred for his faith. He had been preaching and sharing the word of God, and those who had hearing it had kind of turned on him and didn't like that. You remember who was one of those? It was Saul, wasn't it? Saul was one of those who was leading the charge. And after Stephen was martyred for his faith, they began to persecute. Saul led the persecution against all of the Christians. And because of that, they began to be dispersed all across the area. They had to leave Jerusalem, and they began to go preaching the gospel and teaching all over the surrounding regions. Well, many went down into Samaria, and Philip, one of those deacons, was one of those who went down into Samaria and began to preach the gospel. He went down and began to preach the gospel, and lo and behold, the Samaritans began to respond to the gospel. They heard the gospel, they began to respond in faith and began to want to be baptized and trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so Philip was down in Samaria, a lot of good things going on. Remember last time we talked about even amongst all the good things, whenever God's at work, the devil's also at work, isn't he? You know, we talked about Simon the sorcerer and the false believer that he was. But nevertheless, God was at work down in Samaria. But with God down in at work in Samaria, all of a sudden, God calls Philip from Samaria and tells him to go somewhere else. Look at verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now I want you to look at this. Here Philip is, he's down in Samaria, he's preaching the gospel, he's talking to people about Christ, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord says, "Listen, Philip, I want you to go down to this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and I want you to go there." Now, he doesn't give him any details, right? He doesn't tell him why he wants to go. He doesn't tell him what he's going to do with him when he gets there. He just simply tells him to go. And what did Philip do? He arose and went. Now, what a great testimony of obedience. Amen? But let me ask you a question. Why does God do that? Why does God not give us all the details up front? Why is it that many times in our life, God just simply, he reveals the next step, or sometimes he doesn't even do that. Sometimes he just says, "You know what, I want you to surrender to be used by me." Why does God do that? You know, I don't know about you, but I want an itinerary, amen? You know, I want an agenda for the rest of my life. And I feel like that's kind of where we are sometimes. We want an agenda. We want an itinerary. We want to know what's going to happen. And what, Lord, what job do you want me at? Who do you want me to marry? How many kids am I going to have? What are their names supposed to be, Lord? Right? All those things we want to know. I don't know about y'all, but Laura and I talked forever about names, right? And I think we only used two of them, right? You know, one of them, I finally gave in when she was born, you know, and it was a God thing, you know. But we always want to have stuff planned out ahead of time, and God wants us to just follow him. Why does he do it that way? Well, first of all, friends, I believe because it requires faith. It requires faith. Remember, this is a walk of faith we're in, amen? And if God laid it all out ahead of time, it wouldn't take faith. He wants to see if we're going to obey him. Do we really believe what we say we believe? Are we really trusting in him? The second reason goes right along with the first one. It requires faith, but you know what he's also doing? He's testing us. He's testing us. He's testing us to see if we will obey. I don't know about you. Almost every time, across the board, whenever I feel God leading me in a certain direction, there is, for me, always fear and trepidation, hesitation. Amen? When you're taking the next step, or when God's calling you to something different, or he's calling you to do something maybe out of the ordinary, there's a fear and trepidation that comes along with that. Here's what I want to share with you this morning. That's natural. You're supposed to feel that. That's part of faith. It's part of it. Here's the question. The question becomes, when that fear and uncertainty, when we begin to feel that, you see, oftentimes the problem is we allow that to keep us from doing what God's calling us to do. The question is, which one are we going to obey? Are we going to obey those feelings inside, that fear, that hesitation, that trepidation that we have, or are we going to step out in faith and trust God in that? You know, Mark was working down, he didn't mention it here, but has been an intern down at Community Gospel for the past year. Him stepping away from that and coming here as our youth minister is a step of faith. It's a step of faith because he believes this is where God's calling him to be. It's a step of faith that he's never been a youth minister before, but that God's going to lead him and give him what he needs to do that God's going to equip him. You know, when God called me as a pastor, you know, it takes, you feel that, and it takes a step of faith stepping out, because here's the deal. We feel inadequate. We all do. You know, Mark feels inadequate. And here's the deal. You know, surrendering to being used by God is not getting to a point where we feel adequate. I don't want to hire somebody who feels adequate. I don't want to, because if we feel adequate, that means we feel like we got this. I feel like I can do this in my own strength. And I want to tell you something. There's not a single one of us that can do it in our own strength. God is the one who has to empower us. If the Holy Spirit's not in it, friends, God's not in it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be involved with something that God's not in. Amen? Friends, you got to understand this. You may say, well, Pastor, how do I know if God is leading me in this direction? How do I know that? If God's not given all the details. Listen, I just want you to know, God's not going to give you all the details up front. You can just expect that, okay? A lot of times, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and they say, well, I'm just seeking the Lord's will. I'm seeking for God to give me lead me in the right direction. Well, listen, if you feel God leading you, and surrender to Him, say yes to Him. You say, but Pastor, I don't even know what I'm saying yes to. That's okay. Think about Abraham. When God called him out of Ur, what did he say? Genesis chapter 12, he says this, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he was taking him. He said, listen, follow me. Get out of your country, out of your land, leave your father's house, and I'm going to take you somewhere. Where are we going, Lord? Well, I'm going to take you somewhere. He didn't say. I want you to look at the next chapter, chapter 9. We'll look at this here in a couple of weeks. You remember the story. It's the conversion of Paul. But remember, he was Saul, and then God changed his name to Paul. But I want you to look at verse 3 in chapter 9. Paul was on the road to Damascus. And verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He was blinded, wasn't he? He was blinded by, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What did God say to him? I want you to go and I want you to preach to all the Gentiles, right? What did he say? Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. What did Paul have to do? Get up, find somebody to lead him because he was blind, and get to the city. That's all he had to do. That was the next step God had for him. Friends, when God called me into the ministry, I struggled with that for quite a few years. And one of the things I struggled with is because I didn't feel a specific call initially. Felt God calling me, that he wanted to use me. And I felt it had to be a specific call or something. And the reality was, it started when I finally just said, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. Went off to seminary, and I will tell you that I felt a little out of place. A lot of guys in seminary, you talk, they'd say, hey, you know, man, you're here. What are you here for? What's God called you to do? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And Laura will tell you, you know, we had many conversations about this. You know, we felt maybe it was missions and pastorate. I didn't know exactly, what it was God was calling me to. And a lot of guys, you ask them, what's God called you to do? He said, they've called me to preach. I know God's called me to preach. And I was just like, I don't know. I know God's called me. I don't know what that's to. And about my fourth year in seminary, I was on the five-year plan. They had a short bus that took me to seminary and stuff. So it was, anyway. But in about my fourth year in seminary, God began to lay on my heart. The only way I can describe it is he began to give me a pastor's heart. And give me a desire to love and shepherd and grow a group of folks. And so it wasn't until later that God began to show me what his specifics were for me. But friends, it starts with surrendering to a call to him. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel called to ministry. Listen, this is not just talking about a call to ministry. This is talking about any time God's wanting to work in our lives. You know, many people don't surrender their life to Christ and come to him in salvation because they want to know all the ins and outs. And you know what? As believers, we can do the best we can to explain to them. But how many of you, when you first got saved, could fully explain the gospel? Probably none of you, okay? It's just simply a response to the Word of God and God's work in our heart through His Holy Spirit in calling us to Himself. And then we say yes to Him. And then as we begin to walk that road of faith with Him, then He reveals more to us, and He reveals more to us, and He reveals more to us. And so what I believe is that our walk with Christ is a series of God speaking to us and us saying yes, speaking to us and us saying yes. Where we get off track is when we say no or we don't answer God. We need to constantly be saying yes to God. Where are you today? Have you been saying yes to God? Is there something that's been a roadblock in your life that's been a no to God? Maybe you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I know I've been saved and I've trusted Christ, but you know what? I felt like I've hit a roadblock. I felt dry. I felt like, you know, that I know I need to be serving the Lord more. I need to be doing something different than what I am, but I just can't put my finger on it. Friends, here's what that is if you want to put your finger on it. You need to say yes to God. You may not even know what that means. You say, Pastor, but one of the reasons I haven't said yes is because I don't know what I'd be saying yes to. Exactly. Exactly. You see, here's what I believe when we get saved. This is scary, all right? This is scary stuff here, okay? But when we come to trust Christ, I believe in essence what we're really doing is we're signing a blank contract. Lord, you have my life. You fill in the top part. I'm yours. See, the problem is we want to add a lot of stuff in there. We're okay with God working in our lives, but as long as He does this, as long as He does this, and as long as He gives me this, as long as He gives me this, let's just realize God doesn't give us all the details. He reveals them along the way. Second of all, another reason that another thing that keeps us from obeying the voice of the Lord is this. Friends, God, God's leading, the leading of His Spirit, often doesn't make sense to us. It often doesn't make sense. So not only does God not give us all the details, but oftentimes it doesn't even make sense to us. Look back at verse 26. I don't know if you caught this a minute ago, but I want you to look at it. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then Luke puts in a little parenthetical. "This is desert." Now, Phil, that's not saying this is dessert. I know it's okay. Not dessert. This is desert. All right. I told Phil we were going to have a little back and forth this morning. So some of your translations may say this is a deserted place. Why does Luke put that in there? Listen, the Bible doesn't have just random stuff in there for no reason, okay? Luke puts it in there because several commentators have said there were a couple of different roads going from Jerusalem to Gaza. And the road that the angel God led Philip to was a deserted road. Some commentators have said that where it says, "Arise and go toward the south," that phrase can be translated. Instead of going towards the south, it can be translated at noontime, at midday. The point is that in the middle of the day, it would be hot. There would be very few people traveling that road. There wasn't a lot going on there. Here is a deserted place. This is desert. Not a lot of people there. Let me ask you, we just talked about this. Where was Philip when the angel spoke to him? It was in Samaria. What was going on in Samaria? A lot of stuff, right? A lot of people getting saved. A lot of people responding to the gospel. And all of a sudden, God, the Spirit says, "Philip, go down to this deserted road." Now, it says Philip arose and went, but how many of us would have said, "What? Lord, where do you want me? Why do you want me to do that? Look at all what you're doing here, God. Your Spirit's working here," and so forth. It just didn't, it doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. Amen? Why would God lead Philip out in the middle of nowhere? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt God speaking to you or leading you to do something or calling you or leading you to go somewhere and it just didn't make sense, humanly speaking? Maybe God was calling you to go somewhere, to move somewhere away from your family. Maybe what God was leading you to do didn't make sense financially. You know, there's a lot of things God calls us to do and surrendering to Him and sacrificing to Him that doesn't make sense to the world financially. Amen? You know, you go to a financial planner who's not a believer, and you tell them that you're going to tithe 10%, and then on top of that, you're going to give to your church as God lays on your heart, and they're going to say, why would you do that? Doesn't make any sense. That's stupid, humanly speaking. But listen, if we obey God, it makes all the sense in the world. Amen? There's a lot of things that God calls us to do that don't make sense, humanly speaking. I was listening to an episode of Focus on the Family a couple of years ago. And they had a lady on. I think she was a pastor's wife. I don't remember all the details. But she was kind of talking about her family and how God had led them, and was talking about listening to the voice of God and listening and following His Spirit. And in that, she shared that when they had moved to a particular town, they were praying for God to lead them to what exact neighborhood He wanted them to live in. In fact, they prayed that God would lead them to the exact house that God wanted them to be in. And she said, you know, as a family, they got together and they prayed about this, and they asked for the Lord's leading. And as they were looking for houses, they finally found the one that they believed God was leading them to. And so they bought the house and moved in and actually lived there for quite a few years. Their kids grew up there. And after several years, and they lived there for quite a while, it came time for God to call them on somewhere else and for them to move. However, when they got to selling their house, they put their house on the market, and it didn't sell. And it sat on the market, and it didn't sell, and it sat on the market, and didn't sell. And finally, they had to reduce the price, so much so that they actually lost money on the house. Had to sell it quite a few years later for less than they actually bought it for. And this lady actually admitted, she said, you know what? She said, I had to admit that I was mad at God. I was asking God, we prayed about this. Lord, we asked You where You wanted us to move to. We asked You to show us the house You wanted us to live in. And we believed that this is where You wanted us to be, Lord. And now here we are, and we have lost our shirt financially on this house. Why in the world, Lord, would You do that? Why would You allow us to lose so much money if this is where You wanted us to be? And she said she heard God speak to her, not audibly, but as clear as she ever had. God saying, I did not send you there for your financial gain. I sent you there to minister to all the people around you. She said she began to think, and God began to bring back to her mind just a couple doors down that they'd been able to invest in and had come to know Christ. Many of the kids in the neighborhood that their kids had gotten to know growing up and had come to church with them and that they'd gotten to share the gospel with and had come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. And she said God taught her a lesson that day. That it wasn't about what we think makes sense to us. It's about what's important to God. And God can call us and God can use us even when it doesn't make sense financially. Friends, God... And what doesn't make sense to us makes perfect sense to God. Amen? And that leads us right into the third point I want to share with you this morning. Friends, the leading of God's Spirit always has a purpose. The leading of God's Spirit always has a purpose. It's always, I believe, tied to God's greater purpose of redemption. Friends, listen, it doesn't matter where God has you, what He's doing in your life. It always has a purpose. Even if He has you wandering in the wilderness, guess what? It has a purpose. I want you to look at verse 27. Verse 27 tells us that Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. He wasn't telling him to conquer it. He was telling him to go up and speak to this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, we're going to get into this story hot and heavy next week, okay? But I just wanted to kind of look at this. But here's the deal. God called Philip where? To go down to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza? He didn't call him to go down there and twiddle his thumbs. He didn't call him to go down there and pick his toenails. He called him down there for a purpose. God, the Holy Spirit, had already been at work in the Ethiopian eunuch's heart, drawing him to himself, and he needed a messenger to go down and share the gospel with him. Friends, when God calls you, when you say, Lord, what are you doing? Just know that he's at work. Amen? Know that he's at work. We aren't always able to put our finger on it. Friends, even after the fact, sometimes we're not able to put our finger on it. But God led Philip to that place at that time because he had a specific person he wanted Philip to witness to. Let me share something with you. We seldom find out God's purpose until after we obey. Did you catch that? We seldom find out God's purpose until after we obey. It's later on that God reveals his purpose. Sometimes we still don't catch it. But I believe his purpose is always tied around his greater purpose of redemption. You see, friends, what's so important for us is simply to obey, to listen to the voice of the Spirit, to follow the leading of the Spirit, and follow his leading each step of the way. You see, it's kind of like one of those scavenger hunts. How many of you, when you were your youth, did a scavenger hunt? You do those? I love those things. You know, Mark, I don't know if you like those or not and stuff. As a youth, we like to do those kind of things, scavenger hunts. But it's kind of like one of those scavenger hunts where you don't get your next instruction until you've followed the first one and completed it. And then you get your next instruction. And then after you complete that one, you get your next instruction for that. That's kind of the way the Christian walk is, our Christian life is. God calls us, and after we surrender and say yes to him and are serving him, then he opens up another door and he begins to reveal things to us. The problem is, friends, why many people aren't way down here in their Christian walk is because they're way back here and they've never said yes to God to start with. I want to encourage you. You kind of get my theme this morning? Say yes to God, amen? You know, it is saying yes to the Lord. The key is to simply follow what God is saying to you right now. Follow what he's saying to you right now. That's all you can do. Don't worry about what's three steps ahead, okay? Now, for some of those of you who are OCD, that's hard for you, okay? Some of those that have that real detailed mindset, and you got to know, what's up here? I don't know. I can't say here until I know what's going to happen up here. Listen, that's faith. Remember, that's faith. Don't worry about what's three steps ahead. Don't worry about what's coming down the road. Just do what you know God wants you to do. When? Now. Do it now. Do what God wants you to do right now. Because if you do, friends, it leads us to the fourth principle I want to share with you. Great things will happen. Amen? Great things will happen when we allow the Spirit of God to lead us, when we surrender to the leading of the Spirit and we surrender to his call on our life. Look at verse 36. We're getting kind of some previews. We're going to look at this story in more detail next week, but look at verse 36. Verse 36 says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" So, baptism doesn't save us, right? Trusting in Christ saves us. "And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Philip was willing to be obedient to the Spirit and going where it didn't make sense to go. When he surrendered and when he said yes and when he went, what happened? The Ethiopian eunuch got saved. The Ethiopian eunuch came to know the Lord. Friends, here's the deal, and here's what I can promise you. If you will say yes to God, if you will allow God to use you, if you will be attentive to and listen to his Spirit and follow the leading of his Spirit, great things are going to happen. God's going to do some wonderful things in and through you. You know, we have a lot of opportunities here at Southside where you can serve the Lord. We got one coming up, right, Dan? Vacation Bible School. Listen, I know there are some of you that have surrendered and said yes to teach, and you're scared to death. Guess what? Your tendency is going to be to study and try to learn everything you can and get your lesson plans all exactly right and this, that, and the other. And listen, don't misunderstand me. I want you to work hard at that, okay? We need to plan as if we're doing it on our own. And then we need to do it as if all relies on the Lord. Okay? Before you teach those kids, before you do whatever it is, you get on your knees and you ask God to fill you with His Spirit. You surrender yourself to Him to be used by Him. And you'd be surprised what God can do through you. It's all by relying on Him. It's not us. Let's just say it together. Say it with me. It's not us. It's not us. It's not us. It's all Him. How many of you think Dan acts pretty silly during VBS? How many of you know Dan acts pretty silly during VBS? Okay. How many of you wonder how he does what he does and can come up with the things he says and all that kind of stuff? You ever wonder about all that? You know what? Dan plans what he does, but I know he asks God to fill him and give him the words to say to speak to those boys and girls. That's not Dan. That's God working through Dan. You ought to see the Dan that God couldn't work through. All right? It'd be a different guy, wouldn't it? Same thing with you. I want to just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And you know what? Let's just do business with God. I don't know what God's saying to you. I don't know what God's calling you to do. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that maybe God's called some of you to work in Vacation Bible School and you were so scared that you didn't say yes. You know what? It's not too late. It's not too late for you to say, you know what, I'm willing to do that, Lord. I'm scared to death. I don't know what you want me to do even, Lord. You know what, maybe God's calling you to Himself today to surrender your life to Him and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. There's a lot of fear in that. Would you say yes to Him? Listen, I know you want all the answers before you say yes, but it's just a saying yes. I trust you, Jesus. I trust that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave, and I want you to lead my life. That's what it's all about. Friends, maybe for you it's taking a step of needing to say, you know what, I need to follow through with baptism. Maybe I need to become a part of a Bible-believing church. I want to become a part of what God's doing here at Southside. Friends, whatever it is God's speaking to your heart this morning, we're going to open our altar. We're going to just kind of open things up here. Maybe you just want to get down on your knees right where you are in your seat. And maybe you're one of those who says, you know what, Pastor, I don't know what it is, but I know I've got a roadblock in my life. And that roadblock began many years ago when I have not surrendered to the Lord, when I did not say yes to God. Friends, don't worry about what that yes entails. Let God worry about that. You just worry about being obedient. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who's not just in some faraway land, but that you want to reside in us. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that speaks to us, and God wants to have a relationship with us and wants to walk with us. Lord, part of that walking we know is a two-way conversation. As you speak to us, Lord, we are listening. We're not just telling you what we want. We're not just telling you what we think you need to do in our lives. But we're willing to listen and say yes to what you want to do in our lives. So Lord, use us today. Let our yes be yes. Lord, for those who are here this morning that are still filled with fear and trepidation as to what that may mean, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd fill them with your Spirit and you would just lead them to surrender it all to you today, Lord Jesus. It's in your precious holy name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with me right now. Our altar's open. Brother Dan's here. I'm here. If you need to talk with somebody, would you come? Would you respond to the Lord today?
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently Your Holy Spirit, teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray.
Your connect cards, if you will. Ushers, you come on forward. If you'll put those in the basket, we would appreciate that tremendously. A couple of quick things. We'll give you an opportunity here this morning to meet Mark and Nicole. And so we're going to open up. We've got some breakfast foods and tried to finish up a little bit early here to give you some time to do that. You can take it back to your Sunday school room, that kind of deal, if you want to. But Mark and Nicole are going to be up here, so get a chance to, don't hog him, all right? And because about 25 after, we've got to whisk him away downstairs. He's going to teach the youth this morning. Parents of youth and youth-to-be, you're welcome to come down and join in with that. If Mark wasn't already nervous enough, we just kind of loaded him up this morning to make him fully nervous. So understand that, okay? Let's be gracious with him. And I appreciate your heart, Mark, and looking forward to that. So you can get a chance to meet him this morning. And even after second service, if you'd like to stick around. Guys, don't forget, we have, I think, our last softball game tomorrow night. When I was gone, they won. So I'm going to kind of show up and then leave tomorrow night. No. Wednesday night, okay, we've got Vacation Bible School stuff. 6 o'clock, we've got our quarterly church conference, all right? We've got, I know we haven't had anything in the bulletin, but there's some important stuff we kind of need to take care of and stuff. So I want to encourage you to be here 6 o'clock Wednesday night. This Friday, one more thing I want to mention. Dan mentioned and has called in our Vacation Bible School meetings, has called us all to be praying, maybe even take some time to fast and pray. And so we're going to set aside this Friday, the noon hour here at the church, okay? Noon to 1. I know some of you are working and you can't make it as a time of prayer for Vacation Bible School, okay? Now, this is not required, and whether you do this or not, this part is up to you and the Lord, okay? But we encourage you to fast during lunch, okay? For those of you not familiar what that means don't eat lunch, okay? To fast as just a sign of commitment to the Lord and that you are serious with God and you want to take the time, instead of focusing on eating, you want to focus on Him and on praying for the boys and girls that are going to be coming here in a couple weeks to Vacation Bible School. So here's the deal. We're going to have the sanctuary. We're going to have lights on everything. I'm going to have a sign on the door. I'm going to ask that when you come in the sanctuary, no talking. If you need to chit-chat or say hi to somebody, say that out in the foyer. But Friday, noon to 1, if you can, you say, but Pastor, I only get an hour for lunch. Well, here's the deal. If you're fasting, you have 15 minutes. You can get anywhere in this area in 15 minutes to get here. You can pray for half an hour, 25 minutes, whatever you have. You can still make it back to work, all right? I know some of you just can't understand that, but if you can, we're going to open this up. I'd love to see the sanctuary full. But listen what, if it's only me here, we're going to be praying for VBS, okay? Amen. All right, Brother Dan, will you close with prayer, pray for our food this morning, and then you all get a chance to meet Mark.